Good morning, Christ Center. It is Monday, October the 20th, and we are now in week 7 of our walk through the book of Mark. Today, we're going to read Mark 12, 1 through 12. Before we do, let's take a moment and invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark 12, 1 through 12. He began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug out a pit for a wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenant farmers and went away. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the farmers to collect some of the fruit of the vineyard from them. But they took him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant to them, and they hit him on the head and treated him shamefully. Then he sent another, and they killed that one. He also sent many others, some they beat and others they killed. He still had one to send, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenant farmers said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill the farmers and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This came about from the Lord and is wonderful in our eyes. They were looking for a way to arrest him, but feared the crowd because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. So they left him and went away.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua. We're also here with Pastor Mark. Saturday, we were just reading about this intense conflict Jesus was having. Not only did he go into the temple and show his anger about what was happening there, he also had a confrontation with the religious leaders who did not believe he had the authority to do things. So now the conversation is continuing. He's talking to these religious leaders who are already furious with him, and he tells this parable. What does the parable mean, Mark? Help us.
In what you just said, I just want to reemphasize that most of the time his parables were for the crowds. But this parable is, I think, directed directly at the authorities.
Yeah, he told parables for different reasons. And some of the times he knew some people would get it and some would not. Sometimes it seems like he wanted them to not get it. This is time he definitely was being pointed and he wanted these guys to get it. What's the vineyard?
The vineyard is Israel.
Is Israel. A man who planted the vineyard.
And the father.
The father planted the vineyard. He took care of the vineyard. He leased it to tenant farmers and went away. Who do you think they represent?
Well, all the priests and
yeah, these people, the religious leaders. Now, he's not in a rural place. He's in Jerusalem. You don't see Pharisees as much in these sections. These are mostly religious leaders who like work in the temple at this point. So this is the confrontation. It's like, hey, you guys, the vineyard owner left you guys in charge. And what happened? Over and over again.
Is they kept killing those the Lord had sent.
Yeah.
Beating or killing.
Beating or killing.
Right. Beating or killing. It was tough being a prophet in the old days.
It really was. And then he says, so the vineyard owner says, I'll send them my beloved son. He even uses the term beloved, which we've already seen, haven't we? Yeah.
He's my son.
My beloved son.
With whom I'm well pleased.
Yeah. And so he says, certainly they won't do anything to him, but of course they seize him and let's kill the heir. Let's take his inheritance and they kill the heir. Joshua, what are you seeing?
So then he tells them, here's the scripture. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This came about from the Lord and this is wonderful in our eyes. He's saying God is working and you are rejecting me, but I'm going to be the cornerstone of what God's building. And then in verse 12, I think they were looking for a way to arrest him. We've already seen in the previous verses, they're looking for a way to kill him. And he lays out, look, I know what you're planning to do. You want to seize me and you want to kill me. He just said that in the parable.
Yeah.
And so then they're afraid. They fear the crowd because you know what? There's people in the crowd that do get the parable as well. And they're going, well, this parable is about these evil tenants seizing the beloved son. And I think they're going, well, we can't seize him in front of the crowd. They're going to know exactly what's happening here.
Well, I was kind of read it a different way. I read it sort of as the crowd, many in the crowd wouldn't understand. So they're trying to seize him, like, oh, he's attacking us with his words. And like, what are you talking about? All he's doing is telling a parable. But so I don't know, either way though, man, I read this wonderful book years ago about, it's called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. And the author was talking about the use of parables and how usually when Jesus would give a parable, the whole point is to turn a mirror to the audience and to say, where are you in this parable? Where do you see yourself? And I wonder if there's a lot in the crowd that'd be like, man, I don't know. I've never owned a vineyard. I've never killed anybody that went to check on it. I don't really know what that's about. Interesting, but he's a rabbi and he says all kinds of weird things that I don't understand. But these guys, the religious leaders, are hearing it and they know exactly what he's saying.
Do you think that they knew that the vineyard represented Israel?
Yes. Yes, I think absolutely so. That would have been consistent with a lot of things in scripture there. Isaiah 5, you know, Isaiah talks about Israel as a vineyard. I think they very clearly would have understood exactly what he's saying. He's using imagery that's used throughout the prophets. So him turning that mirror to them and them seeing, oh, wait a minute, I'm the villain in this. I don't like this. But they couldn't do anything about it because of the tension in the air and the crowd following.
Another thing that's interesting is he first sends one servant, then another, and then he sends many to the point where I have one left. And it's like Jesus is saying the Father has tried everything possible. Yeah. And yet still you reject him.
Yeah.
And you're going to reject me. And this is like, this is a clear prophecy of what's about to happen within the next week.
Yeah.
The next couple of days.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That there's no doubt in Jesus's mind of what's going to happen, but that the outcome is going to be something that the tenant farmers still don't understand.
Well, the conspiracy is fully underway at this point. They've been trying to get him for a long time. Like all week long, they wanted to seize him on Palm Sunday. They couldn't do that because that literally would have started a riot. And here they have the same kinds of concerns.
And the incredible thing too is that after Jesus is then crucified and raised again, there are those that were both in this group very likely that repented, remembering, oh my goodness, we killed the beloved son. There are things that come into play and it's like, oh my goodness, I rejected this stone and he's become the chief cornerstone. So like, this is so incredible that the Father is sending the Son to redeem all of mankind in Israel. Anyone in Israel that wants to repent is totally still in, you know, this is not set. And so I think about if I were there, one of those people trying to do what's right, trying to fulfill the Torah, thinking this is some wackadoo guy, somehow he's doing miracles, whatever. But then later realizing, you know, the pieces fall into place and suddenly I realize, wait a minute, this was the beloved son. Oh God, forgive me.
Right.
That this is all being laid out still for them, even in this moment, and that the beloved son has come. I have one to send, my beloved son.
Everything hinges once again on who is he? If he's not the beloved son, this parable is just like, well, so somebody else claiming to be a Messiah, whatever. But if he really is the beloved son, oh my goodness, verse 9, what then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill the farmers and give the vineyard to others. So the judgment of God, yeah. If you kill the son of God, are you worthy of judgment? Yeah. And not only will there be judgment, but the benefits of the kingdom are just going to be given to everyone else. That alone, just that part alone, that other people would be worthy of the kingdom would have also gotten under their skin. So Jesus is hitting a lot of stuff here. It's a really intense situation and they can't do anything about it. It's a powerful standoff. Mark, on that note, would you pray a blessing over us today?
Lord, you are our Father and you sent the Son. And we get to bear the fruit of that. And I thank you that that you sent it not just for the nation of Israel, but for all. And so we praise you and we thank you and help us respond with open hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.